I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dom time. Now, it may not determine the 2020 election, but I'll tell you, are you like me? You're going to be fascinated to see how well President Trump does with African-American voters, Latino voters, principally African-American voters. I'll tell you why it's on my mind. Philly.com, here's the headline. Democrats worry. Oh, my God. Our friends, they're worried as Trump unleashes money on 2020 digital ads. Yeah. The guy that Brad Parscale, the chief advisor, campaign guy, the guru, I think the Trump campaign was more buttoned up through him than we thought in 2016, and they're way out there. So Philly.com says he's blitzing these ads, running in states including Michigan, Florida, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania. It set off alarms among Democrats. They're worried by more than $10 million Trump and his allies have already spent on digital advertising, a drop compared with the $100 billion his campaign could spend by Election Day. For now, the ads have gone largely unanswered as Democrats focus on their primary. Oh, boo. The real concern is Trump is able to have unchallenged positions when it comes to issues that voters care about, says a progressive think tank. Here's the part that got me, though. It's not and this is where they drill down. It's not the positions Trump is putting out there on the border and not cowering with China and all that. Philly.com's analysis says others appear aimed at softening his image, especially on issues related to race. Then they say, this is supposed to be a news article. The ads are unlikely to persuade African Americans to support Trump by large margins, but could ease concerns among moderate or suburban voters that the president will need to win re-election. One battleground ad, viewed by nearly a million times, shows footage of a White House event commemorating Trump's signature of a criminal justice overhaul. The president grins as Gregory Allen, an African-American former prisoner who was released under the law, praises him for continuing to make America great again. In another, a middle-aged black actor plays Howard from New Mexico, who thanks Trump for restoring faith in the country. In the third, a multiracial collage of people, all can be seen linking a social media post by Melissa from Florida, who tells Trump that he makes her proud to be an American. The Trump campaign denies they're trying to soften his image. They're just sharing the president's record on all these things, particularly with a diversity of people. So the part that bothers me with this whole thing is this issue. I mean, there's a lot of things where people can joust, and I think they're certainly normal. You know, I mean, it's a hot debate on any number of these issues. But this whole thing of Democrats, Biden in particular, he's like and he's not clever enough. He's not smooth enough. He doesn't know enough to finesse it and make his point. I'm talking about Charlottesville, for example, to go back to that. That seems to be where Democrats have arrived on this issue as the way to go after Trump. You know why? It combines race. It combined, you know, you can throw words out. White supremacists were there, that kind of thing. It also combines what they say that Trump is just indecent. You know, our buddy.
Decency.
The dean of decency who ran on that. You know, nobody else would even try to do this. We played Joe Biden the other day completely butchering it and just saying, well, it was these people that came up out of the woodwork spewing all this hate. And a bunch of decent people who were there because they wanted the Robert E. Lee statue to go. Completely ignoring in the media lets them get away with it. You know, I would love to see that. Now, I don't know how you can go back and recreate it, but if I were there in the war room with them, I think I would try. I would try to find people who were there that day, to Trump's point. I still maintain there were four groups. There were people there because they just think Robert E. Lee ought to come down. And there were people there that think, no, they stand for that, that Robert E. Lee is different than a lot of these figures. And then there were the loser, neo-Nazi, supremacist, tiki-carrying creeps. And then there were the Antifa creeps. You have something, Dan? You look like you're okay. All right, so Trump was right about this. I would beat the Charlottesville area and try to come up with those people that were there that would speak to that. I think that's accurate. It's politically risky to say stuff like that. You're not supposed to say it. You're supposed to just say bad people, neo-Nazi supremacists, and all these good people. All right? Then you have a death in that, too. So you throw it all together, and Democrats see this as the secret sauce to continue this stuff about race. You know, and they've gone after him on the anti-Semitic stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. There's a lot of issues where it's legitimate to contend with him on. This is laziness, but they know the media buys this about Charlottesville. That's why I said, coming up, putting some meat on the bone here about people that were there and why they were there. Fox had some of them on during that day, and they were there because they think the statue ought to stay there. Well, that automatically makes them a bigot, does it? Then there's a lot of bigots out there. If I think the Kate Smith statue should stay there, bigot. Is everything, you know, around that in race? Now, here's Biden, the most recent iteration, I think, talking about Charlottesville. And you can tell he doesn't have the finesse even to misdirect and make his point. He goes overboard, and I think anybody with half a brain, and by the way, we played you earlier this week, swing voters in Pennsylvania were picking up on this. Swing voters, as defined, it was as a focus group in Erie. They voted for Obama twice, and they voted for Trump once. They were picking up on this in Charlottesville. In other words, they know what Trump said, and they know the parameters of what Trump was saying there, and they think they're accurate. Here's what Biden said.
He is a genuine threat to our core values. And if you wondered about that, remember what happened in Charlottesville. I never thought I'd see that happen in my lifetime again. You had people climbing out of the fields and from under rocks, carrying torches, contorted faces, chanting the same anti-Semitic bile that was chanted in Europe and in Germany in the 30s. Same exact language. Carrying Nazi flags, accompanied by white supremacists, accompanied by the Ku Klux Klan, and confronted by decent people who said, not in my city. And what happened? When he was asked to comment on it, he said, quote, there were very fine people in both groups. No president of the United States, Democrat or Republican, has ever, ever, ever said something like that. Never. This is a guy who does everything to separate and frighten people. It's about fear and loathing.
See, this is something I would take on. I see opportunity here. I don't know about you. I see opportunity there. It needs a lot of field work, a lot of stuff to push back against this. The media is not interested. We know that. They're lazy, incompetent, and or agenda-driven. It's freeze frame. They think Charlottesville, in every mind, that's what's happened. Can you imagine just decent people on the other side? Bunch of Antifa animals, right? On the other side. Blow torches and everything else. Yeah, the Tiki boys were there too, without a doubt. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. So they're worried. Trump people ahead of the curve here again in the swing states, 10 million in digital ads. I think Trump is going to pick off more than any Republican I've seen of African-American voters. Some of it the economy, some of it the criminal justice, some of it is style. I think you're going to see that. But there's work to do with the media and this whole image with Charlottesville that they go back to again and again and again. All right, that's one thing on my mind this hour, 855-839-1210. Now, we had on a big guest today. We had the U.S. drug czar on. He's here in Philadelphia. They called us. And we talked about why he was here. They're honoring a task force that really intercepted a tremendous amount of drugs, fentanyl, things of that nature, right? I let it go. This was the initial time because we had so much other stuff that I thought you'd want to hear about. His take on Colorado. his take on recreational drugs in New Jersey, his take on what they're doing around marijuana, kids, safe injection sites. I mean, I didn't get through half the questions I had. But when he talked about his three-pronged approach, now this is the, you know, from the Trump administration, and you know I believe we're not spending enough on treatment, on resources toward that, and the best treatment by empirical evidence, right? He mentioned a few times this addiction is a disease. He said it clearly, and he said it three or four times. I didn't get into it today. I'll tell you what I've arrived at, and I wonder if you have arrived at this, and maybe I could have spent next time we get him on, which I hope will be soon. I want to talk about that model. That goes down hard when you have someone listening who may have had cancer or has it now, disease, addiction. You know, we want to be seeing addicts as people in trouble that we can help. The best I can tell you where I'm moving toward a little bit, a lot of information out there that talks about various drugs, various severe drugs, using them and then the brain chemistry changing. So at that point, you might have what could be called a disease because you've changed something about yourself, and that's what helps to fuel the addiction. I still would contend, though, in most instances, getting into this with intentionality, that's not a disease. It's a choice. But we didn't cross swords on it because he was here for other stuff. Next time around, I don't mean argument, I mean a conversation, but this was the driving force he talked about. See, I think you can be wanting more resources, wanting to lift addicts up to support them in a difficult time and get them back to a normal life and not throwing them away or not attacking them. But I don't know that the way to go is to call it a disease. And he did when he talked about his prongs of what the federal government's doing around all these things. And I wonder if you've arrived. I think over the years, when this first happened, calling it a disease, like alcohol, I think it started more with alcoholism as a disease. I've never been able to buy into that model. I'm suspicious. But some people that I respect and some of the stuff I've read, you know, you arrive at this after a period of time, brain chemistry changes. Then you do have a component to it that you might start to move toward that. The fear is that we call it a disease. It's kind of we're not putting the guardrails up enough to prevent addiction. That's what the fear is. So 855-839-1210. It's up on podcast. It'll be up on podcast. It was a tremendous conversation. I was really happy with the stuff he talked about and the information we got from him. This on a day where I'm looking at a national article Dan found where Colorado passes $1 billion in marijuana state revenue. They are bringing in taxes, in state revenue, $24 million a month. It took them 3.5 years to reach the $500 million mark in total state revenue. The next 2 years after that, they reach $500 million again. They're on track to do it in even a lesser period of time. But the social cost of this type of stuff is what we talked about with him. So there's a lot of money. A lot of people want this. It's a close call. Jersey's on the cusp. But the social cost, the type of stuff that goes on with it, we talked about that also. Staggering amount of money, though. $1 billion in 5 years. It's pretty amazing. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. I can get you in. Is it a disease? I give you how you come out to that on the other side. I was listening to him really closely, though. He said that three or four times. I think he's a good representative of what President Trump is doing. He's headed to China, he told us, to try to reinforce the law. I'm not trusting the Chinese on this. I don't think they're doing it. I know Trump got him to sign an agreement on it, but, you know, I don't see it. They're completely untrustworthy on all this stuff. Fentanyl I'm talking about and how much they make off it and the damaging it's causing to us is just incredible. This story at Philly.com is apropos. You should feel good, though, that part I feel good about. Look, I know the singular talent, charisma, the connection to the Trump base. I get that. But I'm more convinced this Pascrell guy and others in the Trump campaign in 2016 were buttoned up, and Trump gets it to be out there ahead of the curve. So $10 million in digital ads, that goes a pretty long way in like four or five states. And some of it is to make the point, why wouldn't you consider voting for me, particularly with African Americans? Other Republicans sort of give up, or they just don't have the resources here that I've talked about, including the economy, to make that argument. Now, I'm not, maybe you know this too, I'm not fully in love with some of the pardons and some of the stuff with criminal justice reform. I don't know about some of that. But I do know that Trump is doing stuff that other Republicans have not. And what he has to worry about is Charlottesville, as far as the perception of it, the myth of Charlottesville. I have exactly what he said there, and I'll read that in a moment. And others, even Jake Tapper on CNN, admit it. We have a tape of that. He didn't call the neo-Nazis very fine people. Like Joe Biden called the Antifa people, decent people, standing up there. Yeah, the blowtorch guy. The idiots dressed in all manner with the covering their face and all. Why is that not challenging? You know, why doesn't somebody in the media, sometimes they don't have access, I guess. Sometimes it's incompetency to say, Vice President Biden, you're saying on the other side, those were just decent people.
And confronted by decent people who said, not in my city.
Yeah. How about Antifa? Are they decent? Let's drill down. Do you know who they are? What's the history of Antifa? Do you call it Antifa or do you call it Antifa? Tomato, tomato. Well, just once you'd like to see this. Now, you know, maybe it's a mistake on Trump's part. He gives a lot of access, like with the Stephanopoulos thing. If Biden were asked these questions, I think he melts down pretty quick. He doesn't know any of this stuff. You can just tell. He's just grabbing at stuff as he goes along. And pontificating that he's been in government for 50 years, so he knows stuff that Trump doesn't. Yeah, I'd like to quiz him. I'd like to ask him about Antifa. What does he think about them? Were they the decent people? If Trump is going to be held to the fine people, now Biden is saying decent people. Those were just decent people there. Were they? There were four groups of people there. Who knows how many were there just on the debate of Robert E. Lee? But there were some. That's the point. Why is that so hard? Not allowed to say that. All right, let me go to Terry in King of Prussia. He's in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Terry, good morning.
Morning, Dom. I'd just like to say that earlier you had said it, what Trump should have said, that the neo-Nazis, the skinheads, the racist out there, they should have been called out for being bad.
Wait a minute. Terry, I'm answering, then you go for it. Here's exactly what Trump said. He said, you're changing history, you're changing culture, and you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally, but you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, and the press has treated them absolutely unfairly. Direct quote.
To be honest, Dom, I didn't hear him say that, but I still think a lot of things he does to this day, like Todd Whitman was on the other day. She was before Congress, and I heard her talking, and she was saying how Trump is removing a lot of things that Obama put in that are good things, and it makes no sense except for the fact, and she said this, that he's doing it because it was Obama, a black man. And you're
where did Christine Todd Whitman say that? Do you know, Terry?
On CNN.
Okay, Dan, if you want to see if we can. Yeah, we'll play that. You know, I've had her on, and back in the day, there were a lot of things that I liked about her, but you got to understand the bitterness here to say that he's doing this because he's a black man. Now, even if she said, Terry, that he's doing this because he's just trying to take apart the Obama legacy.
That's what she said. I'm wrong.
Okay.
He didn't say black man.
Okay.
But I took it as he's doing it because he doesn't like Obama. And the thing was, it's things that we need today, like water runoff. It has to be caught. It has to go back into the ground. It can't be going in these rivers. We got flooding across the country, including our area.
Okay, now wait a minute, though. Do you believe that that's the motivation, just pure spite? Or like all these things, it's a mixture of taking them apart. He was elected to turn around where we had been in the Obama year. So I'd have to go issue by issue with this stuff. And here's one, Terry. All right.
It seems like
Here, is this just spite? that Pat Toomey, and I'm sure Trump and the others support this, is put a bill out yesterday to say that if a kid wants to have a whole milk, not the fat-free or the 2% milk, they should be able to get that in a cafeteria. That's Mrs. Obama. That was one of her edicts. I mean, this is in the Soviet Union. If a kid be able to drink whole milk if they want, right?
Yes, but again, you're looking at things like down there in Philadelphia. They're trying to stop kids from being obese. We have a problem here in this country where people aren't making the right decisions. And who pays for that in the long run?
Okay, but Terry, wait a minute. This is a free country. So if I, as a parent, decide my kid can drink whole milk, your kid's fat and you're not doing the right things at home, you think you ought to stop the kid who can handle whole milk from getting it?
No, we shouldn't be paying for their health care, that's for sure. If they want to do this and they know it's going to hurt themselves, like this is all new stuff over the last, say, 30, 40 years. We've learned enough to know what's bad for us.
Well, I get that, but this is America. There's a lot of things I don't like and maybe things that I'm doing right now. You're a coffee drinker, I'm a tea drinker. So let me lay that one out a little. I'm going to come to the callers in a second. So Pat Toomey put this bill out yesterday that rescinds what went on here, where you may remember the pushback on this with school lunches. People really care about it. It's a freedom issue. Should a kid be able to get whole milk? Well, Don, what about these parents who are bad parents? They don't know what their kids do. They got an obese kid and all that. I hear you. But if you have a kid that wants to drink whole milk, or you as a parent thinks that's a good thing, I think you should have the right to make that choice. So I understand it, according to Toomey's bill, you can't do that currently. It's either fat-free or 2%. That's ridiculous. You ought to be able to have that choice. Well, but we got a lot of fat kids. People can't make a... See, this is the age-old philosophical debate. This is what it comes down to. I'm on the side that says this is America. It is about freedom of choice. Now, we can constantly try to motivate people, let them know. But if you have kids and parents who are not going to make good choices, they should not get in the way of those that can handle whole milk. That whole milk is not allowed. It's almost hard to believe. And chocolate milk seems to be a particular thing. People think that's mythical, that's more fattening or whatever. Remember this stuff, you couldn't go back for seconds and all, even big kids, football players and that whole thing. So Toomey, is that just mad? Is that just trying to take apart what the Obama's legacy is? There's always going to be some of that with presidents, to take away the legacy of the other. I'm not condoning all of that to do anything just out of spite. But I think this one is a real good example. I don't support that policy, do you? Shouldn't it be a choice? Yeah, but we got people that are obese. I know that. We have people that smoke, too. What are we going to do, round them all up? We have people drinking soda. God. You just don't see America in the right way, I think, if you support soda taxes. You're someone who thinks you're smarter than the room. You're fit. They're not. They don't know. They're goofy. We have to stop them. Their kids are probably getting whole milk at lunch. You'll be seeing scare articles now. What the heck is Toomey thinking about? Next, he'll be saying you can get a soda. It's endless. It just is endless. This is the big divide. Just a simple thing like, should a kid be able to get whole milk at lunch? I think tells you, just ask the person that. If they go, well, you know, yeah, I know all that. Here's what Trump said again, though. I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and white nationalists because they should be condemned totally. That's exactly what he said in that scrum. Now, did he button everything up the way I would like? Did he mangle it here and there? Yeah. But going back to Charlottesville again and again and again is just a ridiculous exercise, but that's what they have, or that's all that they have. Love to get you in on that. Do you have any objection now? Pat Toomey out there was kind of surprised coming from Toomey that you ought to be able to get whole milk is the bill at lunch if you want. Oh, my God. And what's the reason again? Well, take a look around. We're getting into summer. Do you know my theory? Is it just fattening foods, or is it you don't see kids playing enough? There's a lot of reasons why kids don't play today. I think the food was pretty heavy. You know, those meatloafs and those gravies and all that stuff. I think the food was pretty heavy then, back in the day. before we had this rampant obesity. But hey, that's on you and that's on the kid and parent. The fact that your kid may be fat shouldn't stop my kid from having a glass of milk. Toomey even put in some of the milk ads, which I don't know about that. You know, in an answer to Terry, President Trump was reelected, it's pretty clear, to turn around a lot of regulation. I mean, he has been a regulation cutter of a lot of this nonsense, and I think it's nonsense that a kid right now, as it stands, unless Toomey's bill gets passed, is unable to get whole milk in a cafeteria. Well, we got an obesity problem. You know, this comes back to, again, I say it all the time, but it's the same thing with Second Amendment rights. Well, we have some people that can't handle it. Okay, why does that affect me? It's always that. That's one perspective. Well, because of some people that can't do X, they're fat, your kid can't have whole milk. That's ridiculous. You know, you cannot make laws, policies based upon what some people can't do. Let's go to Nick in Horsham on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Nick, good morning.
Hey, Dom, how you doing?
Very good.
This is a great conversation that you're talking about, and I love it. I think the kids should have the choice to have whole milk. I think the parenting is going downhill at teaching their kids to be independent thinkers and understand that they're a little overweight to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
And another reason, too, back when you were younger, everybody did gym class, correct? And there was recess in some cases, and gym class is now being cut back in a lot of schools.
Well, right. So, by the way, Nick, just for the record, because people get on me if I just said yes to you, I never had a gym class. Academically at Newman, if you were in the top books, you didn't have to sweat. But I was playing basketball during the winter, a couple hours a day. During the summer, playing 4 or 5 hours a day of one thing or another. You do that, and by and large, you're not going to be obese, certainly.
Well, and you think about the after-school activities. When I was a kid, I was outside all day.
Yeah, exactly right.
Nowadays, they're on their iPhones, they're on the video games, they're on TV. They're sitting around the house, and they're not going outside and playing, period.
Right.
So you just named, like, 5 after-school activities you did, and you didn't have gym class. Imagine now the kids that don't have gym class, what they're doing after school.
Exactly right. You're right, Nick. Thank you for a great call. I mean, you'll be able to take a look at school. Will be out pretty soon, day or two. Maybe some are already out. You go by a playground, you go by an area, how many kids do you see out there independently running around playing something, and the numbers are not what they would. Okay. Well, then diet is going to be pretty important, right? But food was pretty heavy 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I think the difference was, you know, how many girls double dutch, jump rope. Jump rope is a rope. I am not a good jump rope. I don't know if my producer would be, but it takes a lot of coordination with that. But it is fabulous cardio. That's why boxers still do it. I don't even know if you do that 5 minutes at a high pace. It's incredible. So you're not seeing that. 855-839-1210. You get in. You can jump rope, Dan?
No.
Yeah, I'm just picturing that.
Absolutely not.
I'm looking in at the producer's lounge with Joe from the Zioli show. I don't see jump roping there. Just
I
saying.
I might be able to jump 3 times, but anything longer
well,
than that.
Well, it's not just an enjoy. It's a coordination thing to be able to do
Are you
it.
Saying I'm uncoordinated?
No, I'm saying I have a lot of trouble with it.
I can do about 3 jumps. And
okay, after that, then it does become a cardiovascular and all that. But yeah, you just look around your neighborhood, you don't see that. There's a lot of reasons for it. Technology might be one. So it's going to be a struggle about should kids have whole milk. And you're going to see these people, progressives, say, just like here in Philadelphia, you know where the soda tax is wildly popular? Old City, Center City, Philadelphia. It's people that probably bike, they work out, they do that stuff. That's all good. I'm all in your camp. But they think they're better than these other people who are too fat and too dumb, and they want them to stop drinking soda. Well, that's not your right to do that. How do you get off that you believe that you have the right to do that? Maybe there's some behaviors that you're engaging in. I can go through the list. You know, and everybody's probably doing a behavior that is not as helpful as possible. So why are we zoning in on this again? Because this is the utopia. This is the better. We're going to stop obesity by doing this. There's something, too, about the chocolate milk that sets off people. They just see fat coming out of that. You know, it's a way to get a kid to drink milk. Now, look, there are some scams. I have it somewhere here in the stack of things. There's a salad thing now where you don't put salad dressing on. It's like a tube. Kraft, here we go. Kraft introduces salad frosting to help trick your kids into eating more vegetables. Instead of simply asking kids to eat salad dressing or pretending the age-old condiment bears the hallmarks of a dessert staple, Kraft Heinz has introduced salad frosting with the sweet tooth-invoking word right there on the label. There's a catch. It's just a slim tube of ranch dressing, relabeled so parents can trick kids, we do a lot of research on the show, into happily eating their vegetables. Kid will eat anything with frosting, the company says in a news release. It's made for dinnertime bliss. There's only one problem with this. Just two tablespoons. Kraft's version has 110 calories, 11 grams of fat, 290 milligrams of sodium. The same amount of Betty Crocker frosting has more calories, but just 5 grams of fat and 70 milligrams of sodium. So Betty Crocker vanilla frosting, telling the kid, put that on your salad, has only 5 grams. This is 11 grams of fat, and they only have 70 milligrams of sodium versus 290.
I'm looking at the ad campaign, the pictures from it, and the way the package is set up, it looks like you can drink straight out of it, and the girl looks like she's ready to drink straight out of the salad frosting packet.
God,
that can't be healthy.
Can you imagine the research that went into this? So look, I realize as a parent, this is what you're up against. All right, we want the kid to eat a salad here. Let's get the salad frosting pack out and put that on. Well, realize the salad's not much good if you're putting this on where Betty Crocker vanilla frosting is probably a better food choice. That's the tip of the day.
I'm going to start putting Betty Crocker vanilla frosting on my salad.
There you go. We'll be seeing that out there, yes.
Yeah.
Could go for a nice salad now at lunchtime, now that I throw a little salmon in there. So we're talking about the Charlottesville hoax. And it's not going to go away. You're going to hear it a million times. And how the Trump people are ahead of the curve, already spending $10 million digital ads in 4 swing states. That's a lot for digital. And trying to appeal to African-American voters. You know, the Trump campaign is sending a message. They are going to contend. They are going to compete. They're going to have enough money, resources. And it is going to be all out. And my feeling is, and I hope, that it is more buttoned up than 2016. I know you can say, well, that's a win. Why would you? No, the infrastructure seems better to me. They're way ahead of the curve this time. And this Pascrell guy, I think, is the secret sauce. Starting to hear about him more and more and more in his role in the win and his role now. And the other side doesn't like it. How dare President Trump try to appeal to African-American voters? Given what we know about him. Well, Charlottesville alone. Joe Biden just has no command of anything. It's amazing, isn't it? He touts himself in the most complex foreign policy issues and all that. I just think he'll be exposed. He can't carry the idea forward. He's not finessed enough. Now, Elizabeth Warren, somebody like that, you may not like it, but they could carry the idea forward. They would prosecute Charlotte. They would add things to it. Biden can't. So all he does is throw the myth out there. I just think Trump has to dig down a little bit more on this and be ready. But he did say during that, I'm not talking about the Nazis, white supremacist, in the middle of that wild day. All right, let's go to Ellen in Bluebell. Ellen, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good morning.
Yes. Hi, Don. Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thanks, Ellen, very much.
Yes, I am calling in response to your question on the debate, whether it's nutrition in children or level of physical activity.
Yes.
And as far as whole milk versus skim, I don't think that's an issue. I don't think that's what's causing the future of our children's health. So that's really not the issue. I teach these classes to parents, and there's an alarming fact that I've discovered that parents may not know, but parents of today, their children will be the first generation that will die before their parents. And that's scary.
It is.
And that's attributed mostly to processed foods. So it doesn't have anything to do with the kind of milk. It's processed foods.
Well, look, I agree with you. That's a change, arguably processed foods. What I'm saying is, though, I think a lot of this is ameliorated if you're actually playing, burning stuff up all the time. And that is where the lack is. I mean, I know what it does even intellectually if you work out. So we're seeing two Americas here, Ellen, with people more fanatical than ever about fitness. And at the same time, a whole group that is just sits all day and does nothing.
Yes, and when it comes to children, the main culprit is overuse of technology.
Right.
And that is my biggest platform with parents. And I believe that today's young parents came from the generation where they didn't have the technology, and they're overcompensating. They think, oh, I want my child to have the edge. And they're actually doing a lot of damage.
Well put. Thank you, Ellen. Good stuff. Yeah, processed foods, I'm aware of that. But again, if we're talking whole milk here. My God, Pat Toomey's the one that introduces it. I thought that was kind of curious. Next time we have him on, we'll break that down. I'm just waiting to try. You know what Dan and I cook? We're trying to look at more when these things get debated. You know what the fun is? If you work at it and you go back and you get the transcript of what the other side says, it's just wild. What are you possibly saying arguing against whole milk? What kind of wild stuff will they come up with? They will. They'll say stuff like Jersey. If you missed it during the show today, because I only mentioned it, I want to go back to it just for a moment. I found out, thanks to people like Matt Rooney, our source in Jersey, Jersey is the only state in the country, think about this, with a tax that it's almost hard to believe. And for 20 years, they've debated this. I'd love to hear the arguments against it. You know, actually have one of these people say it. They're cowards. You won't get them on to say it. It's a tax. They collect the same state tax against someone who's in a combat zone. So we have someone not only putting their life on the line, or at least their time of doing other things to protect us, protect the Constitution and the country, serving in the military. But even if they're in a combat zone, they could be under fire at any moment. New Jersey's the only state that still takes out the same amount of taxation. Now, what kind of yo-yo stand up when they do these debates in the Assembly and the Senate and makes an argument? I can just imagine. You know what kind of ground you're on here going against the military in that manner? When people hear, I've gotten a lot of social media emails today, this has to be made up. Now, I'm drilling down on it, that they actually have this tax in the combat zone. It's the same thing as if you're sitting here in Cherry Hill. Think about people who support that and for 20 years have fought rescinding that. It's almost hard to believe, but it's not. Jersey, the only place. Each state seems to have a screw loose on. We're the only state, really, that has, as an adult, you can't buy alcohol in the store, but that's not as bad as someone protecting in the military. And the one guy pushing it is a Navy SEAL who's a representative from Central Jersey to say, you know what, we're going to have a showdown on this. And the way to do that is to get these people publicly, rather than just voting these progressives, to get them publicly to justify why would you continue to tax people that are in a combat zone. Remarkable, huh? All right, Brad Thor coming to town. We are exactly 2 weeks away and counting down. That big clock's going off in my head as we get close to Speaker Series, which is always a special night for me, for listeners, for the station. Brad Thor, third time around, the book Backlash, coming to Westchester. He is a tremendous interview. You'll get the book, you'll get the night, your questions, you will love it. Roe even comes to this one. We're even coming back from the shore. That's how big it is. Get your tickets now, though. Go to our website, 1210wpht.com/speaker series. Brad Thor, if you love his books, Father's Day right around the corner, bang, take care of Dad. Don't have to worry about the present, last-minute shopping. Do it now. 1210wpht.com/speaker series.